Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can come together on this day and offer praise and thanksgiving to God for all that he has done. The announcements have been before you as you've been sitting, waiting, and watching, so I won't go through them all, but a couple of things that do require some attention. The Advent Bible study, we're looking forward to that coming up in a week or so. We will be looking at the entire Presbyterian Church is doing a Presbyterians Read project through Advent, looking at a collection of writings by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. So we will be that will guide our discussions, and we will begin that Bible study on the 22nd. I'm just wondering if the 22nd is a Wednesday night. It'll be the Wednesday night around the 22nd. So if I've every now and then ministers' brains go automatically to Sundays. That's the problem, you see. But we'll be, so yes, I think 22nd should be right. That will be when we will begin that. And books are available. Many people already have them, so that's good. But if you are interested in taking part in that study, please speak to me and I will make sure that you have a book for that. Once again this year, we're going to attempt to do a informal choir during the season of Advent and Christmas. So if you've always wondered what it's like to sing in a choir but have never wanted to make that commitment to do it on a regular and forever basis, during the month of December mostly, we will be here with a pickup choir, and so anyone who is interested is invited to join us. If you want more information, you can speak to me. We're hoping our first practice will be on November 26th after worship, so we will plan for that. So the 22nd should be a Wednesday, I think. See, I knew that was going to work out. And the final announcement that I really want to underscore for you this morning is you have an insert in your bulletin this morning regarding a WE event, which is an intergenerational celebration of Advent and the coming of Jesus. This event is going to be held on December the 1st at 6 p.m. in the lower hall. That's a Friday evening. We will have supper, some food first, and then we will take part in an activity. So it's intergenerational, which means anyone from preschoolers to seniors is welcome to attend, and it is guided so that we will gather together as a community of faith and reflect on the meanings of Advent. So please do put that on your calendar and plan to be part of it. Because it does involve the preparation of food, if you could let us know at the church office if you are interested in being there, then we can make sure that there's something in the pot for you. And finally, we light the Christ candle this morning as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world, and that we, his followers, seek to walk in his path. As we enter into worship this morning, I invite you to stand as we come into the presence of our Lord. And as is our custom, the call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screen. God is great and greatly to be praised.
We thank you, God, for families and friends. We thank you for the warmth of kitchens, quilts, and good neighbors.
God, how great is your name throughout the earth.
We thank you, God, for newborn kittens and faithful dogs, for pine trees and sunlight and crisp, clean air.
Blessed be God, the rock of our salvation.
We thank you, God, for the sound of laughter and the touch of love, for brand new mornings and dreams held close.
Let us come into God's presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise with songs of praise. Come, let us worship God. And as we come in prayer. Creator God, who claims us as your own, we bring our full selves to worship this morning. Our happiness and our sorrow, our singing and our crying, our strengths and our failures. We carry it all. Teach us to trust that your faithfulness endures in all the seasons and circumstances of life. Help us to know that all we are is bound to you, and teach us to rest on your steadfast love as the source of our gratitude and joy, as we, your sheep, follow wherever you lead. Amen. As we come in worship this morning, we come in praise, singing the hymn, O my God and King and Savior. The words for the hymn will appear before you on the screen. Because God has promised to be near to the brokenhearted, let us consider how we have lived, confessing our sins and trusting in God's mercy to save. The words for the prayer of confession will appear before you on the screen. Merciful God, we confess that we neglect to acknowledge you as God in our lives. We live like we have complete control over our own future. We forget that you created us and that we are the sheep of your pasture. We separate ourselves from the flock and abandon our bonds with one another as we try to do it all on our own. We have traded gratitude for individualism and thanksgiving for self-reliance. Forgive us, we pray. Free us to live as your grateful people. That line slipped in. You were supposed to offer silent prayers of confession. Friends, receive the good news. God's steadfast love endures forever. While we were still sinners, God made a way for us to return to God and to return to one another. By God's grace, we are forgiven and reconciled people. Thanks be to God. Amen. Once more, we join in praise to the hymn number 570, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, No Turning Back, No Turning Back, number 570. Guys, you're coming up. I think it's just you guys this morning. And Chuck, because Chuck's always here for the children's story. Good morning. How are you guys this morning? Cold outside this morning, isn't it? Brrr, cold. If you get really happy and really excited, how would I know? If you were really excited, Noah, how would I know? What? By your smiles? Yeah. Other ways? Somebody gave you something, a gift that you really, really were hoping you would get. What would you do? You'd be happy. And you'd go, would you go, yippee? Would you do that? Would you do a little dance? Run around the house? Yeah? But that's what we do when we're happy, isn't it? We go, yippee! And we do a little dance. And we run around the house. Maybe we sing a song. Sing a song? Maybe? Up here this morning. Now, downstairs in Sunday school with Laura. You going down this morning, Laura? Laura's going down this morning. Downstairs, you're going to be talking about the story of the 10 bridesmaids. And we're going to hear the 10 bridesmaids up here this morning. But we're going to talk about, I'm going to talk about this morning, our psalm. And the psalm is Psalm 100. And it goes like this. It talks about how do you behave? How would you behave if you were excited about something, if you were really, really happy, and about something in particular that makes us happy? Psalm 100 starts like this. It says, make a joyful noise. Yippee! To the Lord, all the earth, worship the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. That's what we do every Sunday when we come to worship, isn't it? We come, and we come because we're glad to be here. because this is a joyful place. And so we come joyfully and we sing songs and praise to God because we know that God is good and God gives us everything that we need. Maybe not the thing you were always expecting. We learn that as we get older, don't we? Maybe not the what we were always expecting, but always what we need. And so we come in worship to remember the goodness of God and to celebrate how God is good and to remind us of that goodness so that we can then go out into the world to joyfully as well. So that's what we're going to be talking about upstairs this morning while Laura's talking about the 10 wise and foolish virgins downstairs, and I can't wait to hear what she tells you. So you got to come and tell me when you're done after church, after Sunday school this morning, all right? Cool. All right, let's say a word of prayer, and then we'll go down for our lessons. Let's pray. And I would invite you to repeat after me. Dear God, we thank you that we can come today to sing your praise, to shout our joy, and to celebrate that you are good. Amen. Thank you very much, guys. We'll see you later. And once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Great and gracious God, as we come this day, we give you thanks for all of your blessings. Especially we thank you for the gift of your word through which we learn of you. Open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive the goodness of your love. Amen.
The scripture lessons this morning begin in the Old Testament with Joshua chapter 24, reading verses 1 to 3 and then 14 to 25. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. Now, therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served in the region beyond the rivers, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." And he said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." The people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God will serve, and him we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made statutes and ordinances for them at Shechem. Our next reading is a responsive reading of the Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name.
For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. And turning to the New Testament, reading from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of a command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Let us sing together our hymn 477, Thy Hand, O God, Has Guided.
Listen now as we read from the Word of God, as it is given in Matthew chapter 25, reading verses 1 to 13. Let us listen for God's word to his people. Jesus was speaking to his disciples when he said these things. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise ones took flasks of oil with their lamps. And as the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all of those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, those other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A church like that, searching online for some background material for this morning's sermon earlier in the week, I stumbled upon a video of a sermon preached at Grace Temple SDA, Seventh Adventist Church. A black Seventh-day Adventist church. And I knew right from the beginning that this was going to be something special, so I stopped to look at it. Because, you know, when you roll the cursor on top of a video preview and you kind of see the movement, right? You can see what's going to happen in the video. And there's just movement everywhere. So I thought, I want to watch that. The choir behind the preacher was jumping and raising their arms and moving back and forth. That's what caught my eye. But the preacher and the congregation, they were engaged in that call and response style of sermon that is popular in the black American church. And the organist would play chords behind the preacher when he made a point. And it got me to thinking about worship, thinking about that worship and so many other worship services that are out there. We can watch them online. We've all become worship junkies after COVID-19, haven't we? Or the ones that are all over town. Different types of worship experience and expression. And I was just reminded of that great breadth of worship experience throughout the worldwide church. And yet, whether you happen to be worshiping in Grace Temple Seventh-day Adventist Church or some vaulted cathedral with stately hymns and intoned psalms or a contemporary congregation somewhere with guitars and drums, the one thing that is shared among all of these congregations is that they are congregations that have gathered in joy to offer praise to the one true God. Each of them, regardless of their style, is a Psalm 100 congregation. As we examine the actions of the psalmist this morning in this psalm that we have read together, it begins with a turning within the author. Like Joshua, the other Old Testament reading from the other reading from the Hebrew Scriptures this morning, the psalmist has made a decision. The psalmist has made a decision to turn to God. She or he has heard the invitation, the summons to prayer and praise, and has decided that they will enter the house of the Lord, knowing that there they will experience joy. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. It seems it is apparent to the one who speaks through this psalm that in his mind, the only legitimate response to being known by God is to sing God's praise. I guess that's why when I speak about those different worship styles from Seventh-day Adventist church to contemporary churches to great cathedrals, more often than not, we end up talking about the singing and the music, the praise that is part of those different styles. According to the psalmist, creation's whole purpose is to praise. And yet there's also in the psalm the understanding that our knowledge of God is incomplete. Surely we are drawn into worship because of the goodness of God that we have received. But the psalmist acknowledges that there's more. We are reminded that our understanding of God is always growing. For the psalmist continues to write in the psalm, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he that has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." For many of us, it is difficult to make an acknowledgement like that, isn't it? To admit that we're not the product of our own ingenuity from time to time or our own hard work, but that before we were even born, in our utter weakness, God is aware of our very being. And neither does God simply throw us out there, you know, mud and spittle packed together and leave us out to our own devices. But the psalmist says that we live in this ongoing relationship with our God, like sheep in his pasture. We're cared for by the Lord, and we are reliant upon him for all of the good things that we enjoy. It is because of this realization, then, that we can live lives of such gratitude and praise. And so the psalmist then ends the psalm returns to this theme of praise. Enter God's gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to God and bless his holy name. How wonderful it is that we can enter into the presence of our God knowing that we are loved and sustained, and that our praise rolls forth from us in joy and in thanksgiving. I guess that's probably why the third verse of that hymn that we just sang may be my favorite verse of any hymn. "And shall we be faithless? Shall hearts fail, hands hang down? Shall we evade the conflict and cast away the crown?" Gosh, that's good writing. If I could write one sentence like that in a sermon in my entire life, I'd be happy. How good it is to receive God's blessing, to cling to it and claim it as our own. Behind those words in the hymn, behind the words of the psalm, there's that little question. Have we experienced delight like that? Do we enter the gates of the Lord with thanksgiving and praise? Or is it just a shuffle along sort of thing? In an interview given a decade or so ago, this is really probably what I was looking for when I was doing my background search in the internet on earlier this week, rather than that preacher from that Seventh-day Adventist church, although he was really good. This is probably what I was hoping to find. In an interview about a decade ago, the Reverend Dr. Tom Long, who was then the professor of preaching at Candler Theological Seminary in Atlanta, Georgia, identified one of the crises that is facing the church. Dr. Long noted that for many of the people that he encountered, they would confess, you know, I have heard the gospel. I know the biblical message. But I am not existentially engaged with it. Therefore, I need to move from knowledge to delight. Sometimes it's not enough just to hear the message or to know what the Bible says, but to acknowledge that it needs to mean something for us. Where do we find our delight? In the rush of the everyday life, it's all too easy to lose sight of God, to forget to give God our thanks and praise, to crowd out moments of stillness that allow God to speak into our lives, into our souls. In a world that demands that we work harder to get ahead, do we lose sight of our dependence upon God as the source of all the good things that we enjoy? Do our lives become so busy that there simply is no time left to come into God's presence with singing? The life of faith continues to be guided by those same principles that guided the psalmist thousands of years ago. Take time for God. Take time for God daily in prayer, weekly in worship, and should you be so fortunate, yearly in time set apart, in retreat or in Christian camping, those sorts of things that call us out of the ordinary and the everyday and give us the opportunity to listen for God in a new way. We do these things that we might never wander too far from God or forget God's great benefits to us. And as we have been invited in, may we too be invitational. May we become the people who the psalmist speaks of. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. May we be the ones who are inviting others to join us in worship, that they might come to know the delight of spending time with God. And may that they see that in us, in that invitation too. Many, many years ago now, as a headquarters chaplain, I was meeting with a commanding officer of the Royal Regina Rifles in Regina. The purpose of our meeting was to discuss upcoming changes in the delivery of chaplain services within the Canadian Armed Forces. It was an exciting conversation, but it's actually the conversation around the conversation that I recall. In our chit-chat around our business, the commanding officer noted, as so many of us have noted over the years, he spoke of the struggle of keeping young people engaged in the Christian faith and in worship. And he recounted an episode with his own teenage son, who woke up one Sunday morning not long before and had announced that he didn't feel like going to church that morning. I'm not going to ask people to raise their hands if your kids have ever said that, because probably they all have. And the commanding officer noted that he simply said this to his son: "Well, why don't you come anyway? After all, no one has ever left worship feeling worse than when they went in." Fairly simple statement, but true. At least I hope so. It's the guy who stands up front especially, right? No one ever leaves worship feeling worse than when they arrived. Because when we come into the house of God, we experience the delight of being known by our Lord and the delight in knowing Him. Or at least, I hope that's what happens. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to God and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness is to all generations. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let all who revere the Lord, who desire to serve the Lord in sincerity and in faithfulness, bring their gifts with joyful hearts. Let us now present our tithes and offerings to the Lord.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy Shepherd of all generations, we bring our gifts to you this morning with thanksgiving and praise. We present these tithes and offerings, not from hearts of obligation, but with confidence and joy, that through your love, made incarnate in your Son, Jesus Christ, you have forever removed our debt. Our joy and gratitude are hard to contain. Use then our gifts and our lives to do your work of compassion, mercy, and redemption. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. And let us continue in prayer. Let us pray. Eternal Lord, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. We praise you that you have so wonderfully and intricately made us, and that not one hair upon our heads or breath that fills our lungs goes unnoticed by you. How are we to respond to your all-encompassing love? We pray that through your Holy Spirit, we may live lives filled with the joy which comes from knowing you. May each breath we take and each step we make upon the road of life be filled with thanksgiving and praise for the gift of life that we enjoy. Teach us how to quit the busyness of life, that we might recognize you as the source of all we enjoy and know you to be our God. May we be filled with love for your church, which stands as a beacon and calls us into worship each week. May our Sabbath observances give shape and meaning to all of our lives. We thank you for this place and for these people, those who walk with us in the journey of faith. Help us to build up one another in Christian fellowship and embolden us to be your messengers of good news, sharing the joy of believing with all with whom we come into contact. Uphold us in times of trial and temptation, when the way seems difficult and we begin to weary or lose patience and hope. Pick us up and reinvigorate us. When we are lost and alone, remind us of your unfailing presence. When we are anxious, grant us peace and heal us when we are ill. As you gather in the sheep of your flock, so gather in our prayers and take them to your breast that they may move your heart. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught his disciples to pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us join our voices together to sing our closing praise, number 569, O Jesus, I have promised. Let us sing to God the words as they appear before you on the screen. Thank you. And now as you prepare to cross the threshold from this place and to go out into the world, and as you encounter doorways and thresholds throughout your week, repeat this blessing. May gratitude abound as I meet God and neighbor in this place. Amen.